Each knew it in their own way, save for Eloise, who also lived it with Lucifer. She felt the shock and heard the outraged metal scream. She smelled the ozone and scorch and tumbled through the infinite falling that is weightlessness. Dazed, she fumbled at the intercom. Words crackled through.
Unit blown. Back EMF surge. How should I know how long it's going to fix the blasted thing? Stand by! Stand by!
Overall hooted the emergency siren. Terror rose in her until she gripped the crucifix around her neck and the mind of Lucifer. Then she laughed in the pride of his might. He had whipped clear of the ship immediately on arrival. Now he floated in the same orbit. Everywhere around, the nebula filled space with unrestful rainbows. To him, Raven was not the metal cylinder which human eyes would have seen, but a lambency, the shield screen reflecting a whole spectrum. Ahead lay the supernova core, tiny at this remove, but a light, a light.
Have no fears. He caressed her. I comprehend. Turbulence is expensive this soon after the detonation. We emerged in a region where the plasma is especially dense. Unprotected for the moment before the guardian field was reestablished, your main generator outside the hull was short-circuited. But you are safe. You can make repairs. And I am in an ocean of energy. Never was I more alive. Come. Swim these tides with me.
Captain Cecily's voice yanked her back.
Wagoner, tell that Argurian to get busy. We spotted a radiation source on an intercept orbit, and it may be too much for our screen.
He specified coordinates.
What is it?
For the first time, Eloise felt alarm in Lucifer. He curved about and streaked from the ship. Presently, his thought came to her, no less vivid. She lacked words for the terrible splendor she viewed with him. A million-kilometer ball of ionized gas where luminance blazed and electric discharges leaped, booming through the haze around the star's exposed heart. The thing could not have made any sound, for space here was still almost a vacuum by Earth's parochial standards, but she heard it thunder and felt the fury that spat from it. She said for him, "A mass of expelled material. It must have lost radial velocity, friction, and static gradients. Been drawn into a cometary orbit, held together for a while by internal potentials, as if the sun were trying to bring planets to birth."
"It'll strike us before we're in shape to accelerate,"
Cecily said.
"And overload our shield. If you know any prayers, use them."
"Lucifer! Lucifer!" she called, for she did not want to die when he must remain.
"I think I can deflect it enough,"
he told her with a grimness she had not heretofore met in him.
"My own fields, to mesh with its, and free energy to drink, and an unstable configuration. Yes, yes, perhaps I can help you. But help me, Eloise. Fight by my side."
His brightness moved toward the juggernaut shape. She felt how its chaotic electromagnetism clawed at his. She felt him tossed and torn. The pain was hers. He battled to keep his own cohesion, and the combat was hers. They locked together, Argurian and gas cloud. The forces that shaped him grappled as arms might. He poured power from his core, hauling that vast, tenuous mass with him down the magnetic torrent which streamed from the sun. He gulped atoms and thrust them backwards until the jet splashed across heaven. She sat in her cubicle, lending him what will to live and prevail she could, and beat her fists bloody on the desk. The hours brawled past. In the end, she could scarcely catch the message that flickered out of his exhaustion.
"Victory!"
"Yours," she wept.
"Ours."
Through instruments, men saw the luminous death pass them by. A cheer lifted. "Come back," Eloise begged.
"I cannot. I am too spent. We are merged. The cloud and I are tumbling in toward the star."
Like a hurt hand reaching forth to comfort her.
"Do not be afraid for me. As we get closer, I will draw fresh strength from its glow, fresh substance from the nebula. I will need a while to spiral out against the pull. But how can I fail to come back to you, Eloise? Wait for me. Rest. Sleep."
Her shipmates led her to the sickbay. Lucifer sent her dreams of fire flowers and mirth, and the suns that were his home. But she woke at last, screaming. The medic had to put her under heavy sedation. He had not really understood what it would mean to confront something so violent that space and time themselves were twisted thereby. His speed increased appallingly. That was in his measure. From Raven they saw him fall through several days. The properties of matter were changed. He could not push hard enough or fast enough to escape. Radiation, stripped nuclei, particles born and destroyed and born again, sleeted and shouted through him. His substance was peeled away layer by layer. The supernova core was a white delirium before him. It shrank as he approached, ever smaller, denser, so brilliant that brilliance ceased to have meaning. Finally, the gravitational forces laid their full grip upon him.
Eloise!
He shrieked in the agony of his disintegration.
Oh, Eloise! Help me!
The star swallowed him up. He was stretched infinitely long, compressed infinitely thin, and vanished with it from existence. The ship prowled the farther reaches. Much might yet be learned. Captain Cecily visited Eloise in sickbay. Physically, she was recovering. "I'd call him a man," he declared through the machine mumble. "Except that's not praise enough. We weren't even his kin, and he died to save us." She regarded him from eyes more dry than seemed natural. He could just make out her answer. "He is a man. Doesn't he have an immortal soul, too?" "Well, yes, if you believe in souls. Yes, I'd agree." She shook her head. "But why can't he go to his rest?" He glanced about for the medic and found that they were alone in the narrow metal room. "What do you mean?" He made himself pat her hand. "I know he was a good friend of yours. Still, it must have been a merciful death. Quick, clean. I wouldn't mind going out like that." "For him, yes, I suppose so. It has to be, but..." She could not continue. Suddenly, she covered her ears. "Stop! Please!" Cecily made soothing noises and left. In the corridor, he encountered Mazunder. "How is she?" the physicist asked. The captain scowled. "Not good. I hope she doesn't crack entirely before we can get her to a psychiatrist." "Why? What is wrong?" "She thinks she can hear him." Mazunder smote fist into palm. "I hoped otherwise," he breathed. Cecily braced himself and waited. "She does," Mazunder said. "Obviously, she does." "But that's impossible! He's dead!" "Remember the time dilation," Mazunder replied. "He fell from the sky and perished swiftly, yes. But in supernova time, not the same as ours. To us, the final stellar collapse takes an infinite number of years. And telepathy has no distance limits." The physicist started walking fast, away from the cabin. "He will always be with her." That was Curie by Paul Anderson. The story is copyright by Paul Anderson. Your reader has been Warren James. This reading is performance copyright 2001 by Hour 25 Productions. All rights reserved.